right now, it's really, what does right look like? What does it look like for the season that you're in right now? Like, what could have been, you've been doing 6 months to a year from now, could have been like your optimal thing. But it may, you may not be where you're at right now. Like, what does it look like?
Hi, I'm Jason Ramsden, and I believe we can all work on leading a more positive and intentional life. And this show details my journey by sharing my learning, stories, and conversations with guests. If you want to lead a more intentional life focused on being the best you possible, please subscribe today. Now, let's get into today's episode. It's 1 week till Christmas for those that celebrate, and in this episode, my Positivity Posse, there is a special gift from my guest, Jameika Woodruff. Jameika is a 17-year veteran of the Air Force and a life coach for women leaders and entrepreneurs. Her gift to all my listeners is a workbook that can help you get unstuck, move forward with your life, and begin to gain alignment with who you say you are and what you say you do. Listen to the end of this episode for that special offer. And let's get to it. Jameika, my friend, welcome to Positivity on Fire. It has been a minute. What's going on?
Hi, Jay. Thanks for having me. It's good. It's been a lot going on, just like you. Busy, but things are good. Thanks for asking.
I appreciate that. It's always like when you get to the end of a year and you're like been hustling. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, can I take a break now? Is it time to take a break? What does life look like in 2022? Like, right. I need some time to think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Have you done any thinking recently? Just kind of figuring out what's coming up next for you?
I have. So, and it hasn't been like a sit down planning session, but the thing I keep coming back to is bring me my flowers when I'm here. And the reason why I say that is because my mom just recently passed. And so,
I'm sorry.
Thank you. But, you know, she'd been sick for a while. But even before that, it was always my goal was like, why am I doing this? Right. And then the things that I'm doing, are they bringing me joy? Are they things that I care about? Like, am I begrudgingly saying yes to this thing when I really want to say no? And that's kind of the lens of been how I've been looking through work, you know, the business, and just kind of in general, like, how does Jameika want to show up? Right. So that's how I've been kind of prioritizing. What does 2022 look like? How do I want to operate? And how do I want to use the time that I have?
That's interesting that you bring that up. And again, I'm sorry to hear about your mom's passing. Lots of prayers your way. But I had a guest on recently that said something similar.
Mm-hmm.
Bring me flowers while I'm here.
Yeah.
And they said, if you read your epitaph or your obituary today, be proud of the life that you accomplished.
Absolutely.
Hear those two things literally like weeks apart and say, okay, well, if that's what we're thinking about right now, if that's what we've got going on, if you take that and put it together, what is your life motto right now?
Like right now, it's really, what does right look like? Right? What does it look like for the season that you're in right now? Like, what could have been, you've been doing 6 months to a year from now could have been like your optimal thing, but you may not be where you're at right now. Like, what does it look like? And it's okay if it's not all the things that were on your goal list or to-do list, because where you're at right now and who you are and what you're dealing with is all real. It's all valid. And you matter just as much as you're doing a small part of it or you're doing all of it. Yeah, that's how I've been operating lately, is really kind of in a mode of it's going to be okay. Like, you are presented with this for a reason, and whether you like it or not, this is where you're at. So how are you going to honor what yourself and then also the people around you and the things that absolutely matter to you? So yeah, what does right look like right now?
What does right look like right now?
Mm-hmm.
And what does it look like right now for you? If you come to me and say, oh, what does life look like right now? Right? Say that one more time.
What does right look like right now? What does right look like right now? It looks like a lot of giving myself lots of space, canceling things where they need to be, saying no to things that necessarily aren't things that I need to do right now that could be put off in a couple of weeks. And just kind of honoring what feels good to you and what is important because, you know, you only have so much time. I think we get in this loop of feeling like we have more time than we absolutely do. And sometimes we can get so wrapped around the axle about the things that aren't going to matter. Is this going to matter in an hour? Is this going to matter in a day? Is this going to matter in a week? You know, and then when you kind of step back from those things, you realize that your list of things that really matter gets super small. Like, you probably could count them on maybe a couple fingers, maybe a hand, but those are things that, like, and then how do I nurture those things, right? So when you get to the end and somebody's reading your obituary, it's like, wow, they literally lived a kick-ass life and they did what was meaningful to them. So
I think that's easier for me to say, live a kick-ass life, than what's right now. See, I still can't get it right.
It's rhyming. It's lots of syllables. It's fine. But yeah, what does right look like right now?
What does right look like translates into live your life now,
yep,
and kick some ass while doing it.
Absolutely.
Tell me something that you've learned about yourself recently. You know, you've gone through a lot. You have been in the military for 17 years in the Air Force. You are looking to pivot into coaching or full time. What's the biggest motivator right now for you?
So I will say that, and I haven't really talked about this with anybody, maybe a handful of people, but the Air Force has been a blessing and also something that I feel like, you know, always feel like are things I feel like I could have done differently. I've been to places I never thought I would go to. I've met people I never would have got the opportunity to otherwise. But there was a point where I felt like I had to lose a bit of myself in order to get to certain spots or, you know, places in my career. And I had to really ask myself, am I willing to do this? Am I willing to give up time with family and things that are important to me to get to this next level? And that, to answer for me, was no. But at the same time, it feels like it was almost a blessing. Like I had to go through that to kind of get to the other side of where I'm at right now. And if anything, it shaped me into who I am today. And it feels like that was what I needed to do in order to get to the side of where I'm at. And so the biggest motivator in my life is really to show up for myself as much as I showed up for the things that were bigger, that are bigger than me, right? Like I put on a uniform and I still do. And I wholeheartedly believe in, you know, what our military is for our country. I believe in my service and the people, amazing people and things that they do on a daily basis. But the thing of it is that, you know, if I can show up that much and sacrifice that much for something that, well, at the end of the day, they'll be very thankful. Thank you for your service, Shamika. At the end of the day, they will continue. The Air Force will continue on, right? And the biggest motivator for me is showing up for myself in the same way that I did for the 2-decade career that I will have when it's all said and done, right? And right. So it's motivating for me, but I also say it's also kind of terrifying, if I'm being completely honest. Like, but the thing of it is that I think there's some introspection there, and there's some places for growth. I almost feel like if you can't think about those things, then you might be missing something. Like, not everybody gets everything all the time, right? So thinking about how I can,
no one gets anything.
I know, right? So that's what motivates me, right? And then also just recently, and it's kind of been hitting me hard, is that all the family members who sacrificed a lot for me to be where I'm at, for me to have the experiences that I've had, and currently will have and in the future, and just to kind of honor their legacy. That is what motivates me. And not realize that for myself, but also for people that I work with and the clients that I coach, is that to realize that you are enough right now. Like, you don't need anything else. You have all the stuff that, all the things that you need, the talents and abilities you need to be successful. We just need a roadmap, right? And, or at least, you know, space to explore what the possibilities are. Cause I think sometimes we get so stuck in, well, I've got to do ABC so I can get to the end of whatever project. And we really don't stop to think about, we don't stop to look back, like, what do I really want? is this what I want? Am I doing this out of obligation? Am I doing this because somebody said I needed to? You know, we don't do that. We don't take the extra breath. And that's what I want for people, is to for them to see that anything is possible.
I love that. I love what you said too about the giving people a roadmap, because I think that's what we as coaches do, right? Is we really help people. We don't give them a roadmap. We help them uncover their own roadmap. And I love that concept, because I mean, you do it, go to work. I always used to say that the school year when I was working in education, people put the blinders on and go. They know what they've done, always done, and it, and they're going to run their race.
Yes.
They've always run their race. You know, the school year is going to be over, and then they, you know, they take their break. But when you remove the blinders and you can see more of the field, you can see a little bit more of what's going on in your own life. That's really when you make progress. So that's where the path becomes, right? The forest through the trees and all that.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love that. Tell me a little bit about the people that you work with.
My clients are, and the people that generally that are, we gravitate toward each other, are women who are either in the entrepreneurial space, who are young in the entrepreneurial journey, or corporate women who are also at the beginning, maybe are mid-level of their corporate career. And generally, these what I have found, and I have some amazing clients, that they are driven. They are successful, but for whatever reason, they are, I feel like they're at a point where they're stuck. Either it's family or it's in the workplace, like they've had some friction or there's issue or things that have come up that have become issues, and they're not really sure how to work through them, right? And they're starting to wonder, is this me? Like, is this something that's, you know, I'm creating this reality in my head, or is this something that's actually going on? And I'm saying 9 times out of 10, it's something that is going on, right? And validating that their feelings or experiences, what they're feeling is valid. And then they get to decide, like, do you want to, you know, create like a framework of how do I work through this so I continue to be successful and grow and prosper my career? Or do I want to pivot? And do I want to go do something else? And that, in both paths, are fine. And that's what I help my clients do. I help them, you know, kind of work through those roadblocks and work through those things so they don't feel like they're doing this all on their own. And that was one thing that I felt in my career, especially young officer in the Air Force, like I felt like I was recreating the wheel. Like there's no way that some of the things I encountered that people, there was nobody before me who had gone through those things. Like, why do I feel like I'm like, really? What's going on? So, and I wanted to be, you know, kind of be that mentor, that, you know, that impartial third party is somebody you can go and check in with. Like, it's, there's so much vast experience and people bring so much to the table. They just need to, you know, realize that what they do bring is valuable and that they are as amazing as they are. Like, some people get so, some people I work with, they're so beat down, they don't see what's going on, but like, what am I doing wrong? Nothing that they're doing wrong. It's just maybe that environment isn't the right one for you. Or how do we work it so that it does work for you?
How do you help clients then work through a pivot? I know it all depends on the client and what the particular situation is.
Yeah.
What are some things that you have found most helpful when you're working with clients?
So what I have found is generally that people know what they like. They don't necessarily implement the things that they do well into the things that they like. And so I found that by doing that, by combining the things that people do well with their just their personality or character traits that are considered strengths for them, they can use those talents and those skills that they already have to turn it into something if they want to go in an entrepreneurial space for themselves, or they want to pursue a different type of career. And look at it that way. And so when we do those assessments, like I have my clients do assessments. So when I do those assessments, sometimes they get the results back and they're like, I didn't even know this. I didn't put two and two together. Like, and then the wheels start turning and they start getting excited about what the possibilities could be. And so I act as a conduit for this. Like, their clients are bringing this to themselves, brewing it for themselves already. It's just me, you know, kind of facilitating, like you said earlier, like we, help them uncover the roadmap. And I, that lights me up. Like, I get excited when people get excited. Like, you see like the light bulb go off, and just helping people grow in that way, that's really exciting for me. So
how are you uncovering roadmap right now on a daily basis?
I'm always trying to absorb, but I'm always constantly reading. Journaling helps me a lot, because I feel like sometimes just the process of writing things, your brain starts to like make these connections that necessarily aren't what's on the page, but unlocks a whole different sort of thought that you that wasn't at the forefront of your mind, right? And so journaling helps me a lot. Exercise helps me a lot. I feel like when I do my best, I get my best thinking and thoughts and going through this process when I'm doing something physical. And that kind of helps me clear my brain. And like, I always come up with these really great ideas. Like, I don't know, like, that's just something that's been helping me. A lot of it is just kind of also coaches need coaches. They need counselors, therapists. Like, you need your own self-care team.
I love that too. Your own self-care team.
Yeah.
People take it for granted. They really do.
You're so right. And so this is a cultural thing for me, but I'm just going to share it because I think mental health, therapy, counseling, whatever word you want to use, it has been so stigmatized that people are afraid to ask for help. And I know particularly in the African American community, which is part of my identity, it's getting better, but at the same time, there are a lot of there's just a lot of stigma around it. Almost as if like it's like you're wearing a scarlet letter or something. And I know some people will say, well, go talk to your pastor or go to your faith leader, but not every faith leader is equipped to deal with issues and to really give people good sound advice so they're not making the situation worse. And so I don't know why I felt led to say that, but
I think it's important, Shamika, because it is an important part. It's an aspect of who you are. And then you have that background, and then you jump into the military, which is a whole nother organization where people aren't really good at asking for help either when it comes to mental health, right? You jump in and say, you got to tough it out, you know, come on, soldier up. And, you know, oh, well, if you do have a problem, go see your CO. Same concept. So you're living in two communities where asking for help is not necessarily something that happens on the regular.
Yeah.
So, A, I applaud you for bringing it up. It's a lot to work through as well.
It is. So
who, you know, maybe clients of yours that have that same sort of background and the stigma around it.
So, you know, I think there is a place for coaching and therapy or counseling, but I will be very clear that they're very two distinct channels, right? And it's very simplified, but this is how I think about it. If someone, they've been through past trauma and they've healed from it, or they're in a place where they understand what is bothering them and they want to move forward or kind of gain some and capitalize on things in actionable things to move forward, then coaching is probably something that you are probably a great candidate for and you want to move through. Now, if it's something that you haven't healed from and there is no timeline for healing, or something that trauma that's coming, that's reoccurring, or it keeps coming up in your life and you're unable to move forward for whatever reason, then counseling or therapy is something that you probably should do, because those things are going to keep coming up no matter what you do. If you try to move forward, it's almost like you have to, you can't skip steps. You got to start at the beginning before you get to, you know, the end, like the glorious end. You have to do the work, right? And sometimes that stuff is messy and it's hard and nobody wants to do it. And I'm raising my hand because there's things that, you know, we're all working through, but that's part of, right? That's part of evolving and growing. But at the same time, like, I want the best for my clients. And regardless if it's coaching, I'd love to coach you. But at the same time, I'm more concerned with you as a person and you healing from whatever happened in the past so you can move forward. Right. So go to see a therapist or counselor, then come see me when you're ready. Like that's the hard decision, or that's the hard discussion, because some people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that at all. They are, how are you telling me this? And, you know, I'm not a therapist and I don't pretend to be one. But at the same time, like, I really do care for my clients and I want them to be the best that they can possibly be. And sometimes that means going back and dealing with all the messy stuff that you don't want to.
Absolutely. And I think it's an important distinction too, because you know, people who listen to the show may not necessarily know the difference between what we do as coaches and what therapists do.
Yeah.
I think the easiest way for people to understand it is coaches help you move forward. It's mm-hmm. forward facing, forward focused.
Yeah.
Where therapists, it's looking back at why, right? Yep. I say this on the show with frequency, is that everything that happened in your life before today defines who you are today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Help with that. That's the job of a therapist or a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
If you are good at a place where you are right now because you come to grips or come to terms with everything that's defined you who you are today, decide to do today will define who you are tomorrow. And that's where coaching comes in for being forward focused. So but I think it's important for us to talk about it because it's not, I think, a distinction that people understand with some regularity.
Sure. Absolutely.
I am curious, you know, you've done a lot in your life. You're looking at wrapping up your career in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
Done a lot of work here with coaching. What is one thing that you would do differently in your life if you knew that no one would judge you for doing it?
Oh my goodness.
You're welcome. Hard question.
No, it's not a hard question, but I'm just going to say I probably wouldn't have joined the Air Force.
Wow. If you knew nobody would judge you for it.
Nobody would judge me for it. So yeah. I will say that while the Air Force has been really good to me, it was not in my purview. Like it wasn't in something that I was thinking this was going to make this career. That wasn't even in my line of sight. But my father is very persuasive and he spent 30 years in the Air Force, retired after a long, illustrious career. And it was kind of one of those things where at that point in my life, I had lots of opportunities for college. I wanted to go to school for graphic design. I wanted to go to, there were several schools. I think the first one was Savannah College of Art and Design. I wanted to go there and be a SCAD kid and learn all kinds about graphic design. And it was like, no, this is what we're doing. And people pleaser as I am, and I'm still working, I'm recovering one. I couldn't say no. I couldn't say no to my dad. And, you know, and I don't blame him for it. I don't blame anybody. It's my response. Like it was completely my choice. But at the same time, I wouldn't have chosen that for myself. But I think I learned a lot of lessons. And that's another thing too. I stayed, right? So nobody was forcing me to stay.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so I had some really good experiences. I met some good people and the mission is amazing. The people are why I stayed. You know, everybody comes from different walks of life. Everybody brings their experiences, their baggage, you know, and so you come together for a mission, right? And that is something that supersedes all the things that are different about you. And so that's why I stayed. But I feel like everything has led me up until this point. And I probably wouldn't have been happy. I don't know. But I wouldn't have joined the Air Force. That wasn't something that wasn't my... It wasn't even all... No.
The pun, the radar.
No, it's funny. Everybody thinks, you're in the Air Force. Do you fly a jet? No, I fly desk. But yeah. Interesting, huh? I don't know.
Interesting. And as you know, military brat myself, right, that we have that in common where, you know, I would imagine your father, like my father, pretty persuasive. Right? I didn't end up going into, I applied to the Coast Guard Academy because that's what my dad was in. And I didn't get in because my math score was 10 points too low. Not a competition over here, more a creative person. But that was it. Like, I didn't pursue, you know, any other way to go. So, you know, I made my own path after that. But there was, I'm pretty sure if I had 10 points higher on my math, I would have gone in and done that path. So I get it. I understand. But I think it's an interesting point for people who may be listening to the show about the influence that our parents have on us, that we have on our own kids, and how does, you know, I have a friend who is also a coach. TikToker running circles. He coaches Latinas, and she's trying to break what she calls the family expectations or the curse of the family, like how you're brought up, and make her own path. And parental persuasion is strong. And so it's interesting that you brought it up, and I appreciate that you did. So if that's, we're going to pivot in a different direction. So you wouldn't have joined the Air Force if people wouldn't judge you for it. And people will say your dad, because that's who you're really talking about in that particular instance. But what's something that you haven't done? The world is your oyster. What is it?
Something that I want to do that I haven't done. I probably want, at some point, I want to live overseas. So I haven't decided where, but somewhere warm, probably on a beach somewhere. Pick up and leave the United States. I think there's something to be said for experiencing other cultures and understanding, or kind of immersing yourself, understanding of how they live and what they think and how, you know, they operate in the world, or how they see the world. I don't know where that would be. Probably somewhere warm, because I live in, right now I'm in Utah and it's freezing here. But I don't know where that, but that I do want to live abroad. And I don't know what that would look like or when, but it will happen. I just don't know when. But yeah.
Yeah. I have that same vision, that same passion. Even if it's not for long, like it could be 6 months, it doesn't have to be a long time, mm-hmm. just to be able to experience living in a different country for, you know, a certain amount of time. I have that same thought process. So
yeah,
we'll have to compare notes here in the future.
Okay. I'll let you know where the best, where it makes the most sense. I don't know. We'll see.
That challenge to each other.
There you go. In proportion to a number of days of sunny days over 70 degrees.
It's got to be warm. It's got to be warm. What's something that no one could steal from you?
No one can steal my faith. Can I do two things?
You sure? Absolutely.
I am probably the most stubborn yet determined person. If I get something in my mind, oh, we're doing it. So
you were born in May. You're a Taurus, aren't you?
No, I'm a Pisces. I'm a sensitive fish, water sign. But I am stubborn beyond belief. I think I would say my faith carries me through everything that I do. And I will say that, you know, at some point, and that's not to push that on anybody else, but for me, there have been times where I realized that I didn't make it to where I am or where I've been or through what I've been by my efforts alone. Whether it be whatever you call it, divine power, God, the universe, either there have been people that have been put in my path or things that have happened by sheer grace and divine intervention that I've been able to be successful, but also the fact that I've had, you know, I can think of myself as a very humble person, but at the same time, like, I'm very determined. So there's some things that I'm just not willing to do, but I'm not willing to give up on things. And I feel like it may take me the longer way. I may take the long way to get there, but I'll get there eventually. And so, those are the things. Those are two things you can't take away from me. Not always perfect. Never. But it is growth process and something that I always lean on just because it's seen me through. So
talking about your faith, or are you talking about your stubbornness, or both?
Both.
Both.
More so my faith, though. We could do a whole nother discussion on that, but there are just some things that I've seen and done and been through that, like, okay.
I've never found you stubborn, but
really?
Yeah.
You have known me long enough.
I'm up on a year almost.
Has it been a year? Oh my goodness. It has been a year.
Right? It'll be January.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, maybe in year two.
In year two, I'll see the stubbornness.
Yeah. No, but yeah.
What's something that people don't know about you? Right? We talked a lot about career and what you're up to and don't know about you generally. And you can't say that you want to live abroad, because we've already covered that topic.
I don't know. You stumped me.
I stumped the show that I stumped somebody with that question.
I don't know.
Well, you think about it and then answer this one for me.
Okay. All right.
Fill in the blank question. Mm-hmm. Happiness is
peace.
Mm, peace.
Mm-hmm. And it may not be, do you want me to expound? I'm sorry.
Yes, please. I'm curious.
So in order to be, I think I was talking to you earlier about living an intentional life, right? We only have so much bandwidth that we can give to any certain thing, right? And then it goes back to, okay, well, what does right look like right now? It can't include everything. It can include the things that matter the most to you, the people that matter the most to you, but it can't be everything all at once. And if you're truly selecting or picking the things that make you happy, there's also an inherent level of just calm and peace in that. And knowing that you may have made some people mad, but at the same time, like, you're not trading your happiness in order to make somebody else warm and feel good about a situation. I'm not saying to cut people off, whatever that may look like for you. But at the same time, like, if you're choosing the things that truly matter to you, there'll be inherent peace, and you'll also be happy because you're doing the things that you care about, things that you love, and you're doing the things that you want to put your time and effort to.
I don't think I could have said that when you said happiness is peace. I wish you all the peace and happiness as we head into the holiday season and the year. Pleasure getting to know you through our CPAC coaching partnership.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just wish you the best as you close out this year. And I hope that, you know, I hope that you get the presents that you deserve and want, but you have a present for my listeners, don't you?
I do. Yeah. So there is a small gift for Jay's listeners. I appreciate you giving me some of your time, Jay, and then also for your listeners to listen to us talk for a little bit. But the gift is, it's a workbook. What it is, it's Be, Say, Do, and it's turning your dreams into reality. And the thought behind the workbook is, and it is, it's really a workbook. It's not like a one pager. It's a workbook where you are actually going through, either print it out or you type it on your laptop or computer. Where am I right now? And where do I want to be? And are there some gaps in between where I am and where I want to be? And then, are you in alignment with who you say you are and how you present yourself? The things that you're saying to yourself and to the people around you who matter, the people you have influence over. And then what are the types of things you're doing to nurture yourself and then nurture your family or your teams? After you've written all this down, you kind of see where there might be some areas you can improve on, right? And the name of the game is not to try to do everything all at once, but if you've identified areas that there may be something to improve on, then you can pick what makes the most sense for you and start there. And then as you're shoring up those gaps or perceived gaps, you can continue to improve and cultivate relationships and grow as a person. So that's my little gift. That's my gift to your listeners. If you've got some time over the holidays, you really want to dig into some things, that's there for you. And I hope it's helpful.
That's awesome. That I think that's a timely gift, Shumika, as we head into the holidays. I'll also tell people to go and listen to one of my early episodes of where I talk about the New Year's resolution. So don't use Shumika's gift as a New Year's resolution. Start it today, the day that you're listening to it. You're gonna go. It'll be in the show notes, but you can go to bit.ly/positivityonfirepodcastgift, all one word, be able to get the download and start it sooner. Don't make a New Year's resolution out of it. Get going with making a new you today. Yeah. It was good to catch up. I really enjoyed our conversation today.
Likewise. Thank you as always. You're always gracious, and I appreciate you, and I'm sure we'll talk soon. But if not, have a happy holiday, and I hope you get some rest. I hope you're able to get some downtime too.
I appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks, Jay.
Here are three things I learned from my conversation with Shumika today. 1, say no to things that aren't in alignment with your goals. 2, sometimes you have to take an extra breath to steady yourself. And 3, you have to do the work. Yes, it's hard and messy, but in the end, it is what is most important. My friends, if you liked today's episode with my coaching partner and friend, Shumika Woodruff, please give us a 5-star rating wherever you listen, and please share this episode, as word of mouth is the only way this show's message grows. And finally, as I close every show, thank you for being here today, my friends. Your gift of time listening to this show does mean the world to me. And as always, be well, be happy, be you. And until the next time, may your quest for positivity begin today.
I had lots of opportunities for college. I wanted to go to Savannah College of Art and Design. I wanted to go there and be a SCAD kid and learn all kinds of graphic design. And it was like, no, this is what we're doing. And I couldn't say no.
For more on my positivity quest, follow me at @JAYRamsden on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. If you like today's episode, please give us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast app or visit podchaser.com and search for Positivity on Fire. Positivity on Fire is a production of Impact One Media, LLC, all rights reserved.